since we've also got 15 minutes of yapping, do you want to end this recording so then it's not just a full shit fight on the upload?
Nah, because it's going to upload it anyway.
Cool. Let's fucking send it.
Are you going to kick us off, mate?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. I'll kick us off into episode 26 of the Race Nuts podcast. Bathurst 12-hour week and little bits and pieces of news, as we are not complete gurus on the Bathurst 12-hour and endurance racing.
It's Bathurst for 12 hours. How much lead-in do you require? Yeah. It's Bathurst for 12 hours.
Yes.
Starts at 5:15. I presume it's going to end at 5:15.
I did.
If something goes horrifically wrong, maybe not. We'll see how we go.
I did the big brain math last night because I couldn't sleep. If they ran that race perfectly, I believe you would achieve about 340 to 350 laps if there were no safety cars or anything like that.
Yeah. So, but you guys got to, yeah.
That was just some quick math.
Does that factor in stops, though?
Yeah, that was just some quick math that I did because I couldn't sleep and I was tired of counting sheep, so I just counted how many laps you could possibly do in a 12-hour Bathurst.
Go outside and touch my grass.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to lead us into some local news for Melbourne go-kart races, first of all. The Intertrack Karting Championship, which I have partaken in through the last few years of being there, had a good crack at it. Didn't become champion, but met plenty of champions within the series. Has called it time. They've had a 15-year run. So they started in 2010 and gone to 2024, which... Okay. Yeah, I was like, the math isn't mathing there, but I think it does if you think about it a bit.
If you count the 10?
I
don't know, dude.
But yeah, they've said 15 years and 15 seasons. Yeah, they're just hanging up the boots. They've had many found owners and operators of it. And many friends of people came from it. And many, just great drivers came through the whole series, really. But I believe a few have actually twiddled into, like, Excels and state series of racing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've come to an end, passing the baton over to Victorian Hire Karting Championship, which I have done their first season of and will finish on Sunday. And it's very much capable hands that they have passed that on to. So, yeah, that's just for where I'd start us off at, just a little shout-out to them for all the great work they did to bring a huge community together.
Righto. Well, let's roll into the 12-hour. We've got the list of entrants in front of us. We're going to start with the pro class. Starting with car 26, Arsenal Racing GT.
No, you can play. I don't know. You fucked it would fucked be a nice completely. Way of saying that. Arise Racing.
Arise. Fuck did I get asked? Oh, you know what it is? I've been watching Soccer Chants. Yeah. On TikTok for the last 2 days. That's where I've gotten Arsenal from. I don't know anything about soccer. I just like watching them chant. Anyway, that will be in the Ferrari 296 GT 3 car. The driver lineup is current supercar drivers Chaz Mostert, reigning supercars champion Will Brown, and Daniel Serra?
Yeah. I imagine that's what he said. Continuing with the pro class, we'll jump into...
I'll just cut you off there. I just want to mention that Daniel... let me finish talking and you will. Take some cues, you dickhead. I just wanted to quickly mention that Daniel is one of the 22 drivers on this list that did compete in last Sunday, or Monday for us, Daytona 24-hour.
Good evaluation. And now the next team that we're going into... Team WRT, one of the two cars that looks like they're running.
The 32.
Yep, so we've got car number... Nah, they've got two cars entered if you looked at your list.
Yeah, this is car 32.
Car 32. So in this one, they're both cars that they're running are BMWs. This car 32 has got Augusto Farfus, Sheldon Vanderland, Calvin Vanderland, and once again, this team, they, I don't know if they were partnered as a team, but
not on this. Oh, the two Vanderlands were in the same car together. Yeah. Augustus was in a different car, yeah, and he actually won Daytona 2 years ago.
Okay, well,
no,
yeah.
Sorry, no, he didn't. I'll take that back. That's a different driver.
Well, anyway, that team, that number 32 car in the pros is one to watch out for, as they all just cut a lot of laps of Daytona International Circuit.
Moving on to the second car of that lineup, car 46, also driving a BMW M4 GT3. The Dr. Valentino Rossi, as you might have indicated by the number, is the lead driver in this car, followed by Charlie Wirtz and...
Oh. I believe it's Rafael Massaglio.
Yeah. Right, yeah, I'm going to take you for that.
Yeah.
Damn it. you're up, mate.
So, cracking on here. I would say an iconic car. And I think you'd agree with me. The car 75...
Won a couple times before.
Sun Energy One Racing Mercedes AMG T3. This car's known for its sunburst paint job. It's a hot orange that goes over the whole car with, I believe, it's flames and stuff. Like, I'm just going off memory here because it's such an iconic car for the 12-hour.
It looks a lot like the sun's producing energy.
Yeah. Wow. So, kicking off in this car, we've got, two Daytona 24-hour runners with Kenny Hubbell and Jules Gunnan, and Lucas Stolz taking up that third seat.
Hubbell, obviously, like the car itself, I believe he actually owns this car.
Ah, yeah.
He's won prior with the car. He's big. He's always been here in 12-hour. I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe this is the person who he lives in the States. He brought a property on Conrad Street in late 2019 unseen, and due to the pandemic, did not get to see the property until he came back in 2022 with the car to race there and won it that weekend.
Fucking hell. That'd be awesome. I hope he still owns that property. Like, that would just be...
He does. I'm pretty sure he does. You don't sell that. And this guy is... I want to double check. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's him. 99% sure it's him, but just in case I'm not.
Yeah.
In case it's... little asterisk, but I'm 99% sure it's him. Yeah, he's a mad, mad motorsports fan. And like I said, he lives in the States and just comes back to Australia really to race Bathurst for the 12-hour.
And just obviously owns the probably, house for shits and gigs just for one event. Yeah. Oh, you Why might come you? For the 1,000. I mean, if you own a fucking house, you might come down for the 1,000.
Maybe if you plan to retire there.
Yeah. I mean, fucking hell of a place to retire. So, cracking on, Dan, I believe this takes us to the Craft Bamboo Racing. If you want to punch
through the number 77.
Good luck with that name.
Yep, so... Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm going to need it. The number 77, again in a Mercedes AMG GT3. Maximil... I had this in my head too. Maximil... What?
Maximilian Gotts.
Maximilian Gotts. And co-driving with Lucas... Jesus Christ, can't we just have some Australian names?
God forbid we get an international driver's entry list and you just shit the bed completely.
I'm dyslexic, brother. I struggle with the fucking English names. You start throwing some hyphens in there, I'm fucked.
Well, without the intent of offending, I believe it's Lucas Orr. I believe it'd be something like that.
I trust you with that. And then followed by a local boy, Jono Jader. Won the 6-hour at least once, maybe twice, I think.
Yeah.
So it's good to see. Good to see a name I actually know. Ash, do you want to take us through the next one?
I would love to. So getting into the first triple-digit car number, actually, that is on Dan's list, which is in no order specifically. We've got the 183 out of JMEC Racing, Melbourne Performance Centre, and the Audi R8 LMS Evo. There's a full fucking make and model for you. I'll get the VIN number for you next time. We've got our driver lineup is Liam Talbot. And then current supercars driver and very much potential champion in the next couple of years, Brock Feeney, who has also in the last 2 years placed it on pole position, or within the team, they've placed their car on pole position at the 12 hour. And going on to a lesser known driver that doesn't ring any bells for me, as quite a few don't on this list, is Ricardo Fella.
Right. Yeah, good fella for you, mate.
Yeah.
I'm really happy I pulled this one out of the lotto, so screw you. car 22 for the Scott Taylor Motorsports team.
222, not
22. I thought I said 222.
No, you said 22, mate.
Oh, whatever, it doesn't matter.
I'm going to suck you.
Screw you. Again, Mercedes AMG GT3. Now, this squad, over the last couple of years, they were running Porsches. I think this might be the first or second year of them running a Mercedes. They've been doing a thing over the last couple of years of a lot of charity work around
is it cancer? Men's
prostate cancer. I can't remember the actual name of it, which would be great. I'm pretty sure it might be just under like the Cancer Foundation, but for specifically for men's prostate
it's
cancer.
The little subdivide of it.
And they've been doing that with their primary driver Craig Lowndes for quite a while. I think couple of years ago when they sort of ran the Porsche, they ran a thing where you could come into the garage at set times with a Sharpie and sign your name onto the car part of that, or maybe if you donated or something.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. If you donated, you could come into the garage at specific times and sign a name and a message onto the side of the Porsche. So they're doing, I don't think they're doing that again, but they're doing a big push around that. That's what the car's primary sponsor is, one of those cancer charities that probably should have pulled up beforehand. But it's a strong lineup here. Craig Lowndes, obviously, let me check the list. Seven times. That flag comes real in handy sometimes. Seven times Bathurst 1000 winner. Also, he knows the track really well. He's paired up with young Thomas Randall and Cameron Waters from Tickford.
Yeah, that Thomas Randall fellow.
Two current supercar drivers.
As a current piano player. That's what I reckon he's more known for.
He's quite good at driving a Mustang, too.
Yeah, he goes around.
Maybe not around Simmons Plains, but...
depends who you ask, really. I reckon Brock was in the way.
Yeah. Now, before you get stuck into this next one, Ash... do not get caught out by the red herring of the race number.
Oh. So, not coming out the 888 garage is the 888 car. On that quick note, 888 don't actually have an entry, I believe, at all.
First time in a while I haven't done it.
Hence
why the 888's available.
Yeah, so someone else has gone, fuck it, I'm going to snag up the number. And that someone else would be... unknown to me, at least, is Team GMR. Once again, we're running a Mercedes AMG GT3. Still in the pro class here as well, just so we're keeping track of that. We've got a full lineup, once again, of Daytona 24-hour drivers. Once again, I'm not sure whether they were this team at Daytona or not.
Pretty much, I'll just tell you now, Ash, any lineups you see here from Daytona, they didn't all race together.
Oh, okay.
They're all mix and match.
Yeah. So we've got Mauro Engel. And then we've got Maxime Martin and Mikael Grenier. Not sure on any of their nationalities or past history, because Engel feels like it should ring a bell, but I'm not sure where I'm getting that from.
I don't believe it's not. You're thinking of Russell Engel.
Yeah.
which is two-time supercar champion. No relation, okay, is my belief.
Anyway, I'm going to punch you on to 9-11.
You really were just waiting for that, eh? And with that, monetization is gone. In the car 9-on-1 for Absolute Racing, they are racing a Porsche 911 GT3-R. Matt Campbell returns. This is Australia's favourite. This is the big Aussie on the endurance racing stage. We don't really give him as much coverage as what he deserves. I believe he did win the race last year. I remember that because he liked the post we made about it.
Good bloke, Matt Campbell.
Yeah, good bloke. And he was in general contention last week for the Daytona 500 too.
Daytona 500.
Wrong one. Daytona 24-hour. Except for in the middle of the night when he dropped out of the safety car. That was a bit of a...
And who are his teammates, please, Dan, if you could?
yeah, fuck you too. I was really interested in that. Ashley, you're going to help me out with this one. If I say this bloke's name wrong, my furniture's going to start floating.
Okay, so once again, with no intention of any offence or anything, we just are not familiar with these names or pronunciations. We have Mr. Guven and I assume Mr. Mrs. Vay Guven and Alessio Picariello. I can't pronounce Guven's first name. That's...
Yeah,
Hang on.
Let me find Ian Translator. Because for some reason, English is not the default.
Alright. Please bear with us. Elevator music, please, Dan, and post-edit.
We'll see how much time I give this. A-Y-H-A-N. Can. No, I don't want to download the bloody app. I just want to... Ian Can. What?
Ian Can. Alright, we're going to move on before this progressively gets worse.
Bring me on to Pro-Am.
Yep, so now we're in the Pro-Am category. We've only got 3 entries here, actually.
It's a very light year this year.
Yeah, so we've got Arise... we've got Arise Racing with a Pro-Am entry. Yeah, so this is their second entry that we've got. We're still running the Ferrari 296 GT3 with current Supercars driver from Brad Jones Racing, Jackson Evans, in the hot seat there. This car number is number 36 as well. Followed by that, we have got Brad Schumacher getting some seat time, and Elliot Shute and Alessio Rivera getting some seat time in the number 36 out of the Arise Racing garage.
Yeah. Alessio, another Daytona driver.
Yeah.
And of course, Brad Schumacher, he's always here at the 12-hour and the 6-hour. So he's always one of those returning drivers that we see around here from the local side. He is Australian, by the way. Right, moving on to... Car 44, Valmont Racing / Tagani Motorsports. Yeah. They are running the Audi R8 LMS Evo. Their first driver is Sergio...
Sergio Pires, yep. I reckon.
Yeah, Mikel Zalo.
Zalu.
And this is the driver. So this was last year's Daytona 5. Daytona 1.
Jesus fuck Christ, me. Get it fucking right before I come over
there. No. Last year's Daytona 24-hour winner and obviously raced again this year, Scott Andrews.
Yeah, beautiful. And that rolls us.
Take us through the final prime care. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to retire you for a minute. So, into our final Pro Am car. Car 91, Porsche 911 GT3. This is the Bend car. So, this is obviously the owners and all that from... Or a the car Shaheens. Sponsored from the Bend in South Australia, the racetrack.
The Shaheens.
The Shaheens.
Own that.
Just absolutely the that track. Loaded. Individuals who are pumping cash into the Bend, just they've made that been the Bend a talking point by doing this, and talk we shall. So we got Yasser Shaheen and Sam Shaheen, I believe they're brothers. Is that right? Brothers?
I think so. Don't quote me on it. Maybe father and son. I could be wrong.
And don't quote me on this. Keeping with the theme there. Lauren Heinrich might be our first female driver that I've at least spotted off a very off name basis, basically. Just guessing that's a female. And we've got Morris Schring in that car as well.
Yep. Before you move on from there, I just want to point out something. So the Shaheens are Australian, but hey, guess what? You're wrong. Lawrence is a bloke.
Yeah, I was jumping on the wiki just then to, like, clear my head. Yeah!
Bro gambled and fucking lost.
It was
lost.
A 50-50.
Whoa. Whoa.
But while we're here, his racing license is a Fiat Gold. And so there you go. It's German,
yeah.
Too.
So, the Shaheens, obviously they're Australian nationality, but they have, as you can imagine... they have roots back to Palestine, so bit of controversy earlier this week when they revealed the livery, and the livery showing their flags on the side of the car being mixed Australian, mixed Palestine.
Yeah.
So that's just
that's just a thing.
It's a bit of a stupid controversy, but it's something worth noticing.
Yeah.
I'm up next, aren't I?
I believe so, mate.
Now this is our first of the three silver cars. Which I've marked in blue because I hate symmetry. car 14 for, oh Christ, Valentin Rossi Motorsports. It's a fucking butchered that. Yeah,
I believe it's
what is it, Ash?
Volante Rosso Motorsport. If I was to have a punch
okay, well
of
there
it.
You go. They're taking the only, and this could be a bit of a fan favourite here, because it's the only one of these model of cars, besides the Hurricane, an Aston Martin Vantage GT3. Their primary driver is another, everything I said about Jayden Ojeda, ignore the race wins, because I'm actually thinking of Jalen Robotham. Has won the 6 hour, or maybe I'm mixing them up. One of these two Jalens have won the 6 hour a couple
not
of times.
Both Jalen's. One's Jayden, one's
Jalen. Yeah, one's Jalen. Yeah, well, I'm dyslexic, so they all look the same to me.
You can't.
Anyway. Robotham, regular supercars co-driver. Obviously, like, regardless, regular to 12 hour, regular to the 6 hour. He'll be driving with James Day and Masito Villagrimizi. God.
We're never doing another 12-hour driver thing if you keep butchering this.
No.
You've got Mateo, right? It's Mateo Villagomez, I believe. Once again, I could be butchering, but at least it sounds better coming out of my mouth than whatever Dan's trying to say. So I'm going to continue us on with the second silver car, car 47, the Superbarn Supermarket / Tagani Motorsport. So this is, I believe, Tagani's second entry again. Yep, but... Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, all right, cool. Paired up differently from the Valmont Racing and Tagani Motorsport with Superbarn.
I believe...
Yeah, the sponsor, I believe
the goal
is... It sounds like it's more of a sponsor, the Superbarn Supermarkets.
Nah, I could be wrong here. I'm pretty sure this is a case of one team is coming over from overseas to run the car... But an Australian team, which I believe is Tagani, owns
the car. Okay, yeah.
They have the car and they're like renting the car. I believe that's the deal. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, go on.
All right, so we've got another... So, just interesting. we've got Mercedes AMG GT3 for car 47 with James Krunduris taking the lead there on that car with a relative, because I'm guessing that's not coincidence, of Theo Krunduris. And our third and fourth driver is David Russell, which doesn't ring a bell, but Luke Yulden, who has been a campaigner supercars driver,
ooh,
I believe.
Oh, I'm going to stop you there because you're about to hurt yourself severely. So David Russell, you should know very well. Current co-driver, done a couple of podiums of Erebus.
Yeah.
And currently co-driving with Premier. I'm pretty sure he's with James Golding. Yeah, he did because he got the podium at Sandown. Now, Luke Yudel, you really should know, because former supercar driver, was a co-driver for a few years, including in 2017 with David Russell.
Yeah, no, I know he was. Thereabouts. It just fucking...
When he won Bathurst.
I'm just not as autistic as you, Dan. I don't have stats fucking straight up my head.
You should at least know the Bathurst winners.
Yes. Well, I don't know what you want from me.
It's on the flag.
Okay.
Right, on that bombshell, it's my turn. car 93, this is the last of the silver entries, the 93 Wall Racing Lamborghini Hurricane GT 3 Evo 2. Please, for the love of God, boys, keep it off the wall this time. Was it last year or the year before?
The,
where it's
the Joker car, like all the swirls and shit. Is that this car?
Yeah, I don't know if they got it in that same livery, but this is the same car. Okay, sweet. This is the same car and livery that touched every bit of concrete throughout the weekend, either last year or the year before. I'm pretty sure it was last year where they ping-ponged every little piece of it.
Yeah.
Primary driver is Adrian Dalsis.
Dalsis? You're adding letters that aren't even there.
That's dyslexia. Former supercar driver, still current co-driver, actually, with Dick Johnson Racing. He'll be partnering Will Davison later in the year, Tony D'Alberto. And race car driver turned TV host Grant Denyer is back with his team with Brandon Lynch.
Grant Denyer is also a local on the mountain, I believe. He lives up top somewhere.
He lives nearby, yeah. He says... you were saying on a podcast once, his in-laws, to go from his house to in-laws, he has to actually go down the pit straight.
Oh, yeah.
So they always end up doing a lap every time he has to go to his in-laws. So he says there's nothing that makes him feel better about it.
All right. And continuing with Grove Racing, this is the first... This is the
first of our bronze.
I'm getting there, bitch.
Sure.
Car number 4, the first of the bronze cars that we have on this list. No thanks to Dan for telling me that. We have the...
You're all over the shop.
You do these names by yourself. we've got Mercedes AMG GT3 with one of the big hosses in this, Stefan Grove, Brenton Grove, and... last week's 24-hour runner, Fabian Schiller. So, there we go. There's a Grove car for you.
Moving on to car 9 for in the bronze category, Hallmark Racing. Also running an Audi R8 LMS Evo. Primary driver, Mark Klink. Kink? C-I-N-I. He'll co-drive with 2021 Bathurst winner and former supercar driver Lee Holdsworth, who'll again be returning with Chaz later in the year for the Bathurst 1000.
There's also Mark Sini.
Sini, was it? Sini. Okay. And final driver is still co-driver, former supercar driver Dean Fiore. That's you're up next, Ash. Right.
Cracking on. Still in our bronze here. The last runner of our bronze, I believe, is Heart of Racing by SPS. I'm not sure what SPS stands for. Sounds like it's the... Yeah, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to guess and just fucking... Whatever.
Okay.
We're running a Mercedes AMG T3 out of that garage with Russ Gunn and Zachary Robichon, both competing in the Daytona 24-hour last weekend. And our third driver is Ian James.
Right, well, the next car is not a car because it's just been scrubbed in the last 8 hours. The 111 Racing Mercedes. I'm not going to bother going for the drivers. Unfortunately for them, they've had a sponsor pull out last minute and they've couldn't get a third driver. I think the third driver was linked to a sponsorship. That was still marked as to be confirmed when I wrote this list up. And, yeah, in the recent hours, they announced that that sponsors pulled out on them and they don't have the backing, so they've had to withdraw from the event. Ash, mate, you want to take us through the first of the GT4s?
The slowest cars that we will see on the track, who are really running their own race, is Team 19 in Car 19 with a Mercedes-AMG GT4 with Mark Griffith. Holy heck. Adam Christodoulou. I'm so sorry if I fucked that up. And Daniel Bilski. Anyway, Dan, if you would like to take us to the Method Motorsport.
Yeah. running the car 24 for Method Motorsport in a McLaren. Jesus Christ.
Artura.
Thank you. I'm having a bad day of it. Primary driver, Anthony Levitt. Jake Squanchin?
Santa Lucia.
Santa Lucia, there we go. And Cameron Campbell. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know anything about those drivers.
And within the same garage, once again, Method Motorsport, we have Car 25, a McLaren Artura GT4 with Tom Heyman, Paul Buscemi, and Ryan Saunderson. And now we have one Invitational.
Yep, the one and only Invitational for Car 54 Vantage Team KTM, driving a KTM X-Bow GT2. David Campbell, Trent Harrison, and Glenn Wood, brother of
Dale
Wood.
Well, there we go.
And current Porsche driver too.
And that is your comprehensive list on everyone.
Of horrible
names.
And
we may never do that again due to the names. Alright, where would we like to pick up on? Any other things? You had a typo or something you wanted to pick out, I believe?
Yeah, I'm going to run through the schedule here. Like I said, I'm pretty sure there's a typo, but a little part of me hopes not. So this is Friday, January the 31st.
Yeah, just right. I'll just fucking pick this up.
Starting the day at a crisp 12 a.m. for a 20-minute session. Supercars Repco testing. Apparently that's how we're starting our evening at 12 in the morning with V8 Supercars doing some pre-Bathurst testing to get the parity correct.
moving on. A bit of nighttime flight.
Yeah, they could put headlights on the bastards. Yeah. And then it's a big gap until 7:55 in the morning when we get first practice for the Ferrari Challenge Australasia.
Yeah.
Followed by the first 40-minute practice session for the 12-hour. Qualifying for combined sedans. No practice for them, apparently. Fucking just good luck with it.
Go fuck yourself.
go fuck yourself. And I'm for that. Followed by another 40-minute session for the 12-hour, but bronze drivers only. A demonstration session. I'm presuming that will be demonstrating God knows what. It just doesn't say. You don't give me information. I don't know about it. And then finally, we got 11 o'clock, we got qualifying for the Ferrari Challenge, followed by qualifying two for sports stands, practice three for the 12-hour, and the day's still going, apparently. 3 o'clock, we'll see the first race for Ferrari, for the Ferrari Challenge. 3:45, we'll see the first race for the combined sports stands, followed by another bronze practice session. And finally, at 5:50 p.m., more supercars testing.
Taking us into Saturday, which is first day of the month. So I imagine there'll be a couple pinch punches in the fucking paddock going on. We have got Supercars testing once again to kick us off at 7:20 a.m. So that's going for 20 minutes. That's going to be a beautiful sound for people to wake up to. Taking us to our combined sedans race, number 2. And then we have got our practice 5 for the 12-hour demonstration sessions, just shy of 10 o'clock there. Practice 6 for the 12-hour, once again, hour-long session at 10:30. And then qualifying 2 at 11:30 for the Ferrari Challenge Australasia, with heading into the exciting qualifying for the Bathurst 12-hour. So that will set the way for the Pirelli pole battle later in the evening. But before that, we get to race 2 of the Ferrari Challenge Australasia. And then we have the Pirelli pole battle. And after that, it's just sponsor ride sessions for 45 minutes. And supercars will run again.
Nice. And then finally, Sunday, no big surprise here. 5:45, the race is kicking off. I believe it was a 30-minute warm-up session before this. Now they were talking about the Bathurst 12-hour during the Daytona coverage, especially obviously America's nights are daytime, yeah. So that's when they had when that was coming up a lot with some of the more international commentators, and Richard Krause, who's a commentator in Australia, does all the Porsche stuff. He's obviously very involved with this event and with the 24-hour. So actually, he wasn't on the broadcast, but he was getting mentioned a crazy amount, which is surprising.
Yeah.
For someone that doesn't get that much, there's no one as much recognition as they should do over here for a lot of the work they do with the broadcast. Yeah. And he's got a podcast with On the Grid. He's on that. I cannot recommend it higher. A Speed Series commentator too. And they were saying how crazy it is, and we're the only long form race that does this. That we have no night practices, which means especially for drivers that have never been here, if they're starting the car, the first time they'll ever see Bathurst in the dark will be on the rolling start at 5:45 a.m. before being blinded by the sun for a few hours, then finally getting into running times regular to what they've been practicing qualifying in.
That is fucked. Alright, so...
Oh, speaking of endurance, mate, we're going to do our own endurance race. You want to tell us all about that?
Alright, so I'll crack into that. So, our mate Blake, who does Erks iRacing streams, I'm not too sure what team he's running out of now. He used to run out of his own team, which I believe was Team Midline Sim Racing. And also, just on the note of Daytona 24-hour, he actually won his class, if not the whole thing, but at least his class. So he's got speed and consistency, and he's invited Dan and I to come have a spin in the iRacing Bathurst 12-hour 2025. So Dan and I aren't sim freaks at all. We don't have a full proper sim setup. But we've got what we've got. Just a couple of Logitechs, and we're trying to get as much practice in as we can. My one goal is to keep it out of the wall, really. So I don't care if I make a mistake on every corner, but as long as I don't pile drive it into the wall, then I'm happy.
My mission for the weekend is just to outperform you.
Puts it in the wall.
Yeah, puts it in the wall. Drops it straight out pit lane. Drops it in pit lane.
Yeah.
Alright. Before we kick off here, so as you know, I'm really get stuck into my F1 manager work.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I'm playing what's apparently going to be the last game, because it's apparently 24 didn't sell that well, so they're not renewing the contract for 25.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Now, the last game brought in my team and the ability to make your own team. So I rejuvenated Brabham. But made me cars very similar to the original Brabham colours, etc. Trying to make the logo as close as I could. It's like, you know, what if Brabham came back? Got Ricardo in the primary car, got Lawson in the second car. Now, we went a bit aggressive with the
strategy
research.
Yeah.
with the research, trying to build the team up for the following season. And that was, you know, we're getting a bit tight on money, but nothing crazy, you know, nothing we can do anything about. Yeah. Until one race, Lance Stroll decided to lock up and write both cars off. I'm talking two engines, two chassis, a gearbox, a rear suspension, a rear wing. A lot of these things we only have two or three spares for.
Yeah.
And every time you use one of these elements, they get worse and worse. Eventually, you can't just use the same wing all the way through if you had no crashes. You've got to replace it at some point.
Yeah.
So it was generally a $25 million repair bill, followed by a lot of... That were my last set of engines. Like, last set of engines, last set of gearboxes.
How far in the season are we here?
We've got eight rounds to go. And three of those are sprints. So, had to take a penalty. Had to take massive penalties for that last race.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple more crashes. Some stuff kept broken. We blew up a gearbox again. The result is I just had to emergency. So, I'm so broke in that game, I can't manufacture anymore. It's blocked. The only thing I can do is emergency manufacture. So, like, a front wing costs 150 grand. You can speed it up, it'll cost 300, and it'll take, like, half the time. But if you want an emergency manufacturer, which gives you the front wing there and then, it goes from, like, 150 to 900 grand. I had to do that because the suspension was worn out, and I had not... Liam Lawson's currently running, like, an old-spec car. We're going back to the same parts we started the beginning of the season with. I ran out of every bit of spare we got. I had to get a suspension unit for Ricardo because we can't run the car without one, obviously. So there goes another 900 grand into the $4 million debt, which also means we've now successfully broke the cost cap, which means I'm now getting fined $2 million a month with 3 months left to go for breaking the cost cap. And I'm getting, after every race weekend, I'm getting an email telling me that the board's lost confidence and I need to improve the team. Now, we've got a good wealth of points because we had a good one at Spa and picked up 8 points, which is great for the team. We're pretty locked in for 7th in the constructors' title, which is great. But I've royally drove this thing into the fucking ground. Lance Stroll has single-handedly crippled my fucking team. And set off a series of events where I am just fucked. I've sacked all my co-drivers.
Oh.
Just before this happened too, I spent a horseshit amount of money luring fucking the Red Bull aero guy across.
Yeah.
I think I'm paying a fucking $3 million signing bonus.
Oh, God.
Because... just to get him across the line to leave Red Bull.
Yeah.
So that's where we're struggling. We're really struggling in aero. So I went, fuck it. This guy's out of contract. Who can we get that's willing to come? And he was willing to come for the right price. And then Lance Stroll rode off two cars.
But.
Fuck.
Right, so moral of the story is that don't let Dan run your motorsport team at that level.
We were going... How much more margin do I need? We had $15 million margin. And Lance Stroll, he hit both cars. Like, lap three, locked up, hit Liam, which speared Liam into Ricardo, which speared them both into the wall. And fucked pretty much everything on the car. I think the only thing that was salvageable is I got a set aside pod of both cars, one floor, and one rear wing. Everything else was fucked.
I don't know what you want me to say, mate, but I agree.
Those engines cost me $5 million a hit. $5 million a hit. The gearboxes were $3 million a hit. I had to buy two of each.
God.
And we're already out of... I've just done the Brazil weekend, which I had a half-decent weekend. Ricardo's car broke down in the one and only practice session before the sprint qualifying. Because I had to make him use an engine that was 14% worn, which broke with half the session left to go anyway.
Yeah.
Because I've got one main engine, race engine left, with 50% of life left in it. And I need to make that stretch while we're in Brazil. I need to make that stretch Qatar. There's like six. It's fucking six races are gonna make it stretch.
God.
So fucked. I'm gonna get sacked from 19.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, well, that's.
Is that where we're calling it, mate?
I reckon that's where we call it, Dan's rant. Perfectly right, on fuck the hour, yeah. Too.
All right. All right, man. I'll see you next time.
All right, good night. See ya.